itself for the morning of worship. We have a lot we want to cover this morning, so let's get ourselves in order. Ryan, is school started yet? So you're already back in the groove. Had any tests yet? No. I'll have to call your teachers. We'll get that taken care of right away. I'll never forget in law I took at college, the first day, the professor, he used to be the district attorney in Cook County in Chicago, and he said, first day, he said, put your books on the floor, you got a piece of paper, this is a test, and it does count against your grade. We looked at each other, a test? And he wanted to know the name of the book, the author of the book, what the course was about 10 basic questions. I learned my lesson. Every class in seminary, the first day, I knew the text, the author, what it's about, table of content, and felt overly prepared for the first day. But I learned my lesson. So that was a good one. And Cameron, when you go back to work?
I'm leaving from here today.
All right. Well, we'll be in prep for your travel. And did you have a good vacation in Florida?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer and then move into a morning of worship together. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this humble assembly. We're thankful, Father, for the freedom we have in this country to come together, the church we choose to worship as we see in your word. And Father, we pray for our Christian friends and brothers and sisters in South Texas. We're under strain this morning. A lot of them are not able to make it to church. A lot of churches are closed down, so there'll be no worship as a unity of believers. We pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray for their buildings. Father, we're thankful that this morning we can worship together. We pray that all that we are doing, we're glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what are we going to sing?
Let's join together and sing number 236. Hymn number 236 is The Church's One Foundation. If you would, find a hymnal and join in with it, please.
Stand.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation, God's water and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, for gates, one holy food, and to one hope she blesses with every grace. Peace forevermore, filled with the
Okay, Mackenzie, is she in college?
She is.
She is. Has she started classes?
Tomorrow.
Well, let's be sure we be in prayer for the teachers tomorrow. I mean, for Mackenzie tomorrow. And that she, what time's her first class? Oh, big deal. 10:50. I'm going to have to call that college. That's a few. That's ridiculous.
She's been very busy all week, though, since she got there. So she's a little worn out and getting a little sick. So just be in prayer for her health.
All right.
Now on her scholastic part of her.
Okay. Very good. 10:50. That's ridiculous. I never even seminary had a class open. That started that late in the day. My goodness. Does she have any morning where she has to be there at 8?
Probably
think
that,
though. Well, I'm going to call SFU and tell them that is not according to college standards. Well, we'll be in prayer for Mackenzie. And now let's talk about some prayer. There's just so much to be in prayer about right now. First of all, let's deal with our family. And first of all, we're going to talk about Tish. She is, just talked to her. She's doing better, but not well. So please be in prayer for Tish and her speedy recovery. And I told her, I said, we'll try not to talk about you too much. But please be in prayer for Tish as she continues her battle. And her brother, Johnny, tell us about Johnny, Terry, your father.
We met with a colon surgeon last week, which that was very promising. The surgery is not going to be as difficult as we thought, just taking out a section of the colon. But when we ended with the meeting, he said, but you need to put this on hold. It's not as aggressive as the liver. Go back to fighting the liver and then come back and see me for surgery after that.
So we're checking the cancer that's in the liver.
We're going back to... We were set up to go start a radiation process for the liver, but we put that on hold as soon as we found out he had colon.
Okay.
The colon surgeon said, no, go back to the liver. So so I'm going round and round trying to make a decision. So Tuesday, we're going to see an oncologist who we've already met with before, and hope to have him help us oversee and really decide which one's more. And then Wednesday, he will start the procedures for the radiation. They have to go in and put some beads in there that are going to help guide them, and then they have to do planning. So it's a process. So we're starting the beginning of the process Wednesday. But Tuesday, pray for that meeting, because at this point, we haven't had a scan that even shows that the colon cancer has spread.
Okay.
And that's where I kind of was like, wait a minute. Somebody has to tell me this. You know, we need a scan. So that's where a doctor will have a scan.
So we'll be in prayer for wisdom for the meeting Wednesday. And be in prayer that his colon will wait till the liver is taken care of. And then we'll take care of you, colon. All right.
Only in that colon area. Yeah. Because the liver was growing. We do need to tend to that.
Okay. So he needs your prayers, people. He needs your prayers. Let's see now. I got so many here, I don't know really how to go about this. First of all, our member... And South Texas, Mickey Bell, my good friend from many days in the 60s, his grandniece, her name is Madeline. Madeline was born last week. She immediately had to go into heart surgery. She has come out of heart surgery, and as of this morning, I just talked to Mick, as of this morning, Madeline's doing fine. But they're going to have to keep a close watch, and her aorta needed to have work on it, so they did open heart surgery on an infant, less than a week old. And so please be in prayer for Madeline and her family at this time as they go through this. On that motif of a baby, Victoria, her daughter-in-law and son had a baby, little girl, and they named her? Adeline, all right. And their mom and baby doing good? Answer the prayer. When you get a report like this, you go, thank you, Father, for the health of our baby. Yeah, that's really interesting. So please be in prayer for Madeline and for Adeline and Adeline's mother and dad. My friend Mickey fell and broke three fingers, and it's already been 8 weeks, and they're still not healing correctly. And you can't even hardly bend them, so please be in prayer for Mick. And I try to be a good friend, but I guess things like this stops it. Because as soon as I said, who did you hit? And he said, no, this time I fell. So when he said this time, that made me feel better. At least he understood why I said it. And so please be in prayer for Mickey as he goes through the hand, getting that taken care of. Jill Weber, another of our members in the South, woke up at 3 o'clock this morning, 6 inches of rain in their house. They moved furniture up as much as they could, and then they had to evacuate, and don't know when they're going to get back into their house. Don't know about the foundation problem, that is, because the whole thing is just water. And so let's be in prayer for Gerald and Diana Weber, and they live in South Houston area. So please be in prayer for them and their home, and they're staying with some friends right now. They had to leave after they took care of their house this morning and go to other people. And people, just be in prayer for all the believers in the Houston area. Robbie Dean said he has people having to miss church this morning, and that's understandable. And you know, I always try to say, church is an endurance contest. We're not seeing if you can endure the whole thing to get here. It's a worship opportunity, privilege. So let's be in prayer for Robbie Dean and Southwestern Houston Church, Southwest Houston Bible Church. Let's see. Then we have John and Judy Hens. Judy had a major foot surgery. I don't really understand all that they did, but they kind of moved her heel underneath her bone structure. And she's John says it's difficult for her to do a lot of things like yard work, but he gets her out there to be sure she doesn't help. Just kidding. But she is trying to get recover from the her foot surgery. And so please be in prayer for John and Judy Hens at this time. Let's see. I have here, any prayers here that I'm not aware of? Yes, Morgan.
I have a family in the Houston area. They lost power for 12 hours yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Just need prayer on that. And secondarily, my wife is in the hospital. She had back surgery on Thursday.
Your wife has back surgery or had?
Had back surgery.
Had. How's she doing?
Very well. She'll be released tomorrow. And just grateful for her recovery and my patients.
Well, when will she come home?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow. She hoped today, but doctor said no, we need one more night.
Right. And you couldn't find somewhere to be tomorrow, so you're in be- we'll be in prayer for your wife, for your home. Absolutely. And the surgery went okay? Good. All right. Very good. Any other prayer? Yes?
Addie goes to Spain this week. She's going out there for the whole semester, so the next 3.5 months.
Spain?
Yes.
All right.
Going to Spain. So just safe travel and that she just gets there and has an awesome time.
You want Judith and I to go with you? We carry your luggage or whatever? Right. We just watched a series of the first Spanish Pope in the Roman Catholic Church, and it was quite an ordeal. Okay, yes.
I have two praise reports. That one was the little boy, the 2-year-old J.D. Hartzell that we've been praying.
Yes.
After 19 chemotherapies, he's doing much better now. Right. He went to Chuck E. Cheese for the first time. Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. And the second one is my other friend, Lavelle North. She has come back to work, and she's looking great. She got 4 more chemotherapy sessions to go, and then the radiation after that. So please continue to pray for Lavelle.
Very good. All right. When do you fly to Spain?
Thursday.
Thursday. We'll be in prayer for your flight and travel and your time there. Yes.
On my nephew, who
yes.
Motorcycle.
Oh my
driver.
Goodness, yes.
He's doing really well. He's out. I mean, he's awake. His body's still recovering, but it's all healing well. Thankfully, he's a healthy 30-year-old man.
Is he going to have any permanent damage?
Oh yeah, he's going to have some permanent.
That's
damage.
What I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it just shattered the
yeah.
It shattered the ball on the upper femur.
Yeah.
And they had all reconstructive surgery in there.
John had to have that, the whole thing, new ball, everything.
So he will be long physical therapy. More concerning right now, please be in prayer for his short-term memory. He has his long-term memory all the way up to the rec, but he has very little short-term memory. So I told my sister that that's a blessing because he doesn't remember that she's driving him crazy. He remembers that she should be driving him
crazy. Beautiful.
He's going up to Richmond to the brain trauma area, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. They needed his body to get in a place where they could move him.
Remind me again his name.
His name's Mark.
Mark. Please be in prayer for Mark. Having gone through this with John, it's just a long, long journey. Wow.
And, I mean, thanks to the Lord, he was riding his motorcycle with a friend of his who was a paramedic.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. When the wreck happened, he got off the bike and Mark was gone. And he gave him CPR and
wow.
all of this and saved his life. But had the Lord not put, had they not been riding together?
Might be in heaven.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to do, carry your doctor with you.
That's
your doctor with you. John Hintz was in ICU for over 6 weeks. And he just didn't come out of it at all. I remember when we went to see him, and about the only thing he remembers is that he was always thirsty, and they wouldn't really give him too much. And I just took a sponge-type thing and dipped it in cold water and gave him that. And he said, well, I still remember that cold water. It was so nice. And it's a bad, bad trauma he's got to go through. So we'll be in prayer for Mark. Wow, how's Mark's family doing?
They're doing well. It's actually, I was talking to my sister, and she's had the opportunity to talk to them about God and about Jesus, and Mark's a believer. Mark's been asking questions, and they've been talking about, you know, his faith. And so my sister hadn't talked to her other son for many years, and they're reconciling.
Beautiful.
And so, I mean, God has a plan. My sister is strong in her faith. She's a mess sometimes, but she's absolutely strong in her faith.
Beautiful.
And it's pretty awesome to watch.
We'll be in prayer for Mark, the sister, and the family, and his salvation and all. Yes.
We have a friend, John Pierce, who has to go in for back surgery in 2 weeks. So just pray for him.
2 weeks.
Two weeks, yeah. And then my sister has a friend, Don Nelson. And he's just been, he's had for a long time, he's only 66, but he's had heart problems for many years. And they're just trying experimental things and trying to help it.
And what's his status today?
Well, I unfortunately, the text disappeared, but I think she said that just nothing's been working, and the last thing they tried was an experimental thing, and I didn't get from her if that was actually working or not, if they had had the results of it yet. So maybe I'll have more understanding next week when I get a chance.
That's a damn prayer. My goodness. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
When Leslie said that, I have a customer of mine who is going in for back surgery tomorrow. Her name is Loretta Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her I'd be in prayer, but yeah, I might as well have.
We'll be in care, prayer for Curtis. Good. Any other prayer requests? Okay. I got an email. From John. This is from Bill Risley. I have a couple of prayer requests. There is much unrest at this time in Mexico. There's a great amount of tension among the local police, the state police, and the federales, and the army. The problem is that the drug cartels are changing how they do business. They often pose as state police now. The army has been sent in, and they are checking the credentials of all of the other policemen. This is causing a lot of tension and fights. So far, all the fights have only been fist fights, but it's a dangerous situation. Tensions are high all around. The drug cartels are very active around the area where the Risleys live. Presently, Bill and Pat must stay in their house, cannot venture out. Now, I ask you about Grady. Grady ventures out to do his ministry. but not Bill and Pat. To be out on the road or street is very dangerous. In just 2.5 mile stretch of road between the Risley's home and the town where Courtney's clinic is, located about 40 people have been gone missing so far this year. On another stretch of highway between Bevacora and the town, about 60 miles away, they have found 24 headless bodies. It's dangerous to be on the streets. One of the problems is that the cartels are much better armed than the state or even local police. They drive around in vans with 5 or 6 men, all armed with automatic weapons. One local police officer stopped a van which had been speeding through town. 6 men got out of the van, all with automatic rifles. They simply asked the officer if there was a problem. Well, what do you say? No problem. Which he replied, no. They got into a truck and they drove off. Another problem they have, they're facing at this time is a health issue. There are always bad microorganisms in the water. The Risleys all drank bottled water. But you also have to shower and wash clothes and dishes in the city water. This year there seems to be a more dangerous of these diseases in the water, and they are all mean, in quotes. They are making many people sick. Grady's wife, Cheryl, is very sick, including some of the Risleys. Please pray for health and safety of the entire Risley family. Pray for the health and safety of those in their community. Pray for wisdom for them as they continue to minister during these difficult times. Pray for Mexico. Pray that God will use all these things for His glory and that many will come to know Christ because of these circumstances. Thank you for your prayers, Bill Risley. So please remember the Risleys at this time. Let's see now. I believe that is, we heard any more about Jim? Okay. All right.
I do have one thing.
Good.
Today I need to get up and move this. And while I'm here, we're going to say thank you ahead of time to Grady and Vicki Harris. They're going to sing for us. Judith is going to join them. And I'm very happy that they're willing to do this.
Can I join them?
I gave them a choice of 3 songs that I could almost play without mistakes. And they chose the one that I make the least mistakes on. So.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Any other prayer requests? I believe that's all that I had. Don and Judy Hens, Robbie Dean. There's just so many needs right now at this time. Okay. The Word of God. Yes.
I forgot one thing. My friend Sandy, who's going through the cancer situation, she found out that the treatment she had wasn't going to work, so she's on a new treatment, but I think her mindset is not good.
Oh, wow.
And okay. It's really limited time.
We'll be in prayer. And also, Handy us.
Update on the 2 young girls that were at camp whose home was destroyed with fire.
About Larry, is there an update on that?
Larry would have talked to their mom. Yeah, and I talked to him right before we left for Florida. I'm going to talk to her today.
Okay.
The girls were doing really well. They're at Plano Senior. Yeah, and Teresa's in the band. Sheila had gotten a job. Their mindset was really good. And it was Karen that asked for a lot of prayers for herself. They still have not found a place to live.
They what?
Still have not found a place to live. Okay. So the girls are still staying with her son. And she's staying with her sisters. So.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, John. I forgot. Just be in prayer. Now, I'm assuming most of the college kids are back college now. So if you signed up that you would write encouragement.
Oh, sort of remind everybody like who your people are, and I'll try and do a cross text message
very good.
If I can, so that you guys, because this is a great time to encourage them now as they get buckled down on what they're getting there to focus on, and you know, try out new churches and things like that. This is a great time for
good.
Them. I know some of you guys have reached out to them already, but text is the best way to do that. And on that same note, our house is going to feel very different without that whole group coming over. So please be in prayer for Ryan's group as they, you know, create their own new environment at our home.
Very good.
The momentum there.
And I think that would not change, but it will bring in some new things you probably have already gone over in your teaching, things that new kids are need to hear. So that's good. All right, we'll be in prayer for the teachers. Very good. Very good. Judith and I were talking, you know, you're in college, you get a letter of someone you don't know, and it's, you're okay, and we both agree. But if there's a $100 bill in there, that'll really spoof up that letter real good. You know, wow, that's really good. But just kidding. But so it is good to get an encouragement from back home in that respect. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Gracious giver is defined as one who has personally believed in Christ as Savior, but also knows how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, because it's the Spirit that guides us to do our time and our money. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, we're thankful for this assembly. We're thankful for the many opportunities you give us. The internet, which we know very little of its impact, that's up to you. Missionaries, and Father, we right now jointly pray for the Risleys. Take care of them, their health and wisdom. Do they need to stay there or come back to the States, home? Just give them wisdom and strength. Be with Grady as he still goes out and ministers. And then, Heavenly Father, our young people, we pray for all of our young people that are going back to college this week, next week, last week. Give them peace. Guide them to a church where the truth is taught. Let them know, Father, we care about them, love them, and in prayer for them. Our high schoolers, junior high, elementary students, let us have, Heavenly Father, be the church family that we should be with all of these. And then, Father, we pray for our own assembly right here. You will continue, Father, to prosper, bring us some new people that need to know the truth and want to know the truth. And Father, we pray you receive these offerings now. Use them for the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I'm very thankful that Grady and Vicki have volunteered to come and sing. Well, we're studying in Colossians how we're to do this, encourage one another in song and in singing. And just, I hope it motivates more of you. And we've got to get back at Rick Howell, get him back up here, get back at Morgan, get him up here, and any of you others that can sing. And Jim Passmore and I are just chomping at the bit, but they won't let us sing. But that's the way it goes. But the singing of hymn, that we all probably know it. I learned it as a child, and it has been probably one of my closest hymns all my life. Thank you. like you. Appreciate it, man. Now, Vicki, in a few years, when Adeline comes here to hear you sing, I'm going to tell her the first time you did was the weekend she was born. All right. Does everyone have, well, this isn't it. I don't have it. So let's see. Here it is. Christ in you, you in Christ. Does everyone not have, does anyone not have a copy of our new message? We need one right up here. Anyone else not have it? Okay. All right. Both of these concepts are in our passage. You in Christ, Christ in you. And this morning we're going to be looking at you in Christ. And people, I hope I have the ability, the power of the Spirit, to communicate this to you. If you and I can get this down in our souls, that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, there is no place for stress, anxiety, and depression. There is no place to get discouraged when you just understand who and what you are in Christ. That solves all the problems. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that you're entrusting the Spirit to open your eyes to the truth of the passage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are, how thankful we are for the opportunity that we have to study the Word of God. So many years in church history, they didn't even have a printing press. And then after the invention of the printing press, we know that authorities tried to keep the Bible out of the hands of the ordinary believer. But Heavenly Father, we have this hope now. We have this understanding. We have the Bible in our hands. And now it's up to us. If we will spend our lives studying it, learning it, growing in it. Father, we pray this morning your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see and to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, chapter 1, verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we've studied Christ in you. Now this morning, we're going to take a look in verse 10 of chapter 2. You are in Christ. In verse 9, because in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Think about that personally. You are in him. And this is who you and I are in. We are in him who is the Son of God. Verse 10, we must know that you are in Christ. One of the reasons why so many Christians suffer SAD, stress, anxiety, and depression, is failure of knowing who they are in Christ or not believing who they are in Christ, especially at pivotal times when we need Him most. I prefer the order of the King James, which is in line with the original manuscripts. And you are in Christ. The verb there, you are in Christ. That says it all, people. If you and I can get this down, that says it all as to who and what we are. Think of the grand and marvelous things that we can say about Jesus Christ. And then remember, you're in Him. This is what we call positional truth. Or your permanent, eternal position in Him. We start with the holiness, the perfection of God. And you have to ask the 10 questions of Job. And I thought it was worthy just to put them in one more time. Understand what the real issue is. How can I have a relationship with God? How can that possibly be? And then the 10 questions of Job ask that. Can mankind be just before God? And the answer is no. We cannot be just on our own before God. Can a man be pure before his maker? Does God pervert justice? So we have justice, purity, justice. Does the Almighty pervert what is right? And by that it means by saving someone who is not in Christ, who is not righteous. No, he's not going to do that. How can a man be in the right before God? That's very simple. How can you and I be in the right before God? Well, I obey the Ten Commandments. First of all, no, you don't. But second of all, at any given moment, you are obeying. It's in the flesh. We can't do it in our fleshly body. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? And that no one is part of Scripture. Satan added that. No one can make the clean out of the unclean. So we are impure, unjust, unrighteous, and unclean. What is man that he should be pure? Or he who is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Now, that born of a woman is very important in the angelic conflict. First of all, angels are not born of a woman. They look down on that. Second of all, it's a slam at Christ, who will be born of a woman. So, there's so much involved in that one phrase, he was born of a woman, that he should be righteous. How then can a man be just before God? How can he be clean who is born of woman? Now, if you examine each of these questions, we should see the complete helplessness of man. And the answer to all 10 of these questions from the book of Job is found right here in Colossians 2, 9 and 10. In verse 9, we see the fullness of Jesus Christ before God, how he is the righteousness of God. Then in verse 10, we see that everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is in Christ and share his perfect righteousness, therefore justified before God. There is no reason for a believer in Jesus Christ to ever suffer sadness in your life. I know what's going on in the world. I know what's going on in the United States. I don't know what's going on in your personal lives. Only you do. And that's fine. But there's no reason we should lose it under these circumstances. Have revenge. Revenge is so strong. I didn't realize until we started watching this series on the TV how strong revenge is. And that took me to the computer, and it's listed, whether it's in Google, the top 3 reasons why people murder, the top 10 reasons why people murder, the top reasons why people murder. Revenge is always right in there. It's just amazing how we get so obsessed with our anger, our hate, our jealousy, and we seek revenge. Our control. I got to control you. You won't let me control you. Well, I'll murder you. It's just amazing. Our revenge is so powerful. And then the love of money, which is, of course, the root of all evil. Any kind of lust, for that matter. But people, you are complete in Christ. Does that satisfy you? If I had a daughter or son, it doesn't matter if you're popular in school. It doesn't matter if you're a great athlete or beautiful or whatever. You're in Christ. You want somebody to like you. You want them to like you because you're in Christ. And they value that in you. One of our granddaughters just started dating this guy. He's about 6'9". And he goes to Colin. He's a believer. And he likes our granddaughter because she's a believer. People, that's what you want. Doesn't matter you're beautiful, you're this or that, or he's a hunk, all that. No. Do they see Christ in you? Is that what they value in you? So you're complete in Christ. That counters all arrogance. And for our adequacy is because of our position in Christ. Colossians 2:10, and in him you have been made complete. This is a perfect passive participle. The perfect tense reveals the permanency of our completeness in Christ. People means complete. And then we have the grace voice, the passive voice. where the subject receives the action of the verb. We receive being complete in Christ. The moment you believe in Christ, you're made complete in Christ. The Greek verb translated made complete describes how God sees us. How God sees us. Not just how your mother sees you, but how God sees you. See? If you find yourself thinking, I'm not complete in beauty. I'm not complete in success. I'm not complete as a man or woman. People, you're looking at the wrong standards. You're looking in the wrong mirror. We must learn to look at ourselves as God looks at us. Complete. The Greek verb reveals at least four things about our position in Christ. First, the verb means to fill up a deficiency. Well, I know my deficiency. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm not attractive. I'm not talented. I'm not... No. Let's get the real issues about who and what we are. Fill up the deficiency. We've seen in the 10 questions of Job our deficiency. When we study the doctrine of total depravity of man, we see our deficiency. We are without righteousness in Christ. We are complete in righteousness in Him before God. We are deficient in life, lived with God, but in Christ you're given eternal life. Think about it. Eternal life. You can relax now. We don't have to give one thought about dying. Dying is just a change of location from here to heaven. On earth, the face-to-face with Christ. What's so bad about that? We just relax. We can live our life now for Christ. We're not trying to hold on to something. It's just amazing what you already have in Christ. In fact, God the Father has given to everyone who believes in Jesus Christ 34 things that make us complete. Two, the verb means to complete. To be complete in Christ means to be fully possessed of God or by God. When we choose to sin, we move ourselves from God, and that movement is only temporary. You can't move yourself out from God permanently, but we can move ourselves out temporarily from God. Three, to be complete in Christ means to be fully influenced by our position in Christ. When we become arrogant or experience selfish ambition or bitter jealousy, James chapter 3, we deprive ourselves of our completeness in Christ. In our 9:15 class, we're studying the New Covenant. The New Covenant is not for the church. The New Covenant describes how the Jew is going to be at the beginning of the millennium. They're going to be totally complete. They will be locked in to the filling of the Holy Spirit. We choose to be filled with the Spirit. When we're in the Spirit, we cannot disobey the law. We fulfill the whole law. Think about that. When you are in the Spirit, you're fulfilling the whole law. The moment we get out of the Spirit by sin, that's our status. We are incomplete. But we are complete in status before God. And for that reason, all you got to do is faith. Get back into temporary filling of the Holy Spirit. Four, finally, this verb means to be complete with the highest quality in existence. Now, we have a 10-year-old grandson. That little squirrel knows every car on the road. Ah, you know the most expensive car made? And I look at him, I don't know, I don't care, but I don't tell him that. But he does. He can identify all these cars. We'll be driving down the street. Oh, look way over there. There's a... I go, where? I didn't see it. He says, what is your idea of the highest quality of existence? You drive by some homes, Highland Park, Preston Trails. Ah, there's the highest quality of living. See? What is your view of the highest quality of living? Well, people, you have it in Christ. Wherever you live, whatever you drive, you live in the highest quality before God. This is one of the most fulfilling statements about any person to be in Christ. Not only does Jesus Christ have the perfect righteousness of God, Christ right now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is the basis of our living. where he is right now. You are in him. Where is he right now? And we'll see this in Colossians 3 coming up. Verse 1, therefore, since, not if, since you have been raised first class condition, up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, your daily thinking, on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. You are in union with Him at the right hand of God the Father, positionally. Therefore, you're higher than angels. Positionally, you're superior to angels right now. Positionally, every one of us are superior to angels by being in Christ. There are two important virtues that come with our position in Christ. I don't know where the Holy Spirit gave me these things, but here they are. Came up with two important virtues from our position in Christ. One, satisfaction. Are you satisfied with who you are? And only you can answer that question. Not to your husband, your wife, your parents, your children, your friends. Only you and your soul can decide and say whether you are truly satisfied. Are you satisfied with who you are right now? When we look at the percentage of Americans who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, then you begin to realize not many people, even Christians in America, are truly satisfied with who and what they are. People, if you have to go hunt these other places in promiscuity, alcohol, drugs, you're not satisfied with who you are. You've got to be satisfied with who you are in Christ. If you experience bitter jealousy, driven by revenge, then you must not deceive yourself. You are not satisfied. If you're not asking yourself why you're not satisfied, be honest with yourself. Why am I not satisfied? Be honest. Is it because of things you do not have? Because of your age? Because of your past? Because of your present status? Then ask yourself, do you think of who and what you are in Christ? So when you are alone, am I satisfied with who I am? And only you know, and only you've got to be honest with yourself. Well, I'm not satisfied with the way this is happening. I'm not satisfied with the way I've looked. I'm not satisfied with my age. I'm not satisfied with my accomplishments. I'm not satisfied with this. I'm not satisfied with that. Then ask yourself, are you satisfied with who you are in Christ? And if you say, yeah, but, you've just cut yourself off. Yes, I'm satisfied with who I am in Christ. This is the biggest issue of all. Second thing, not only satisfaction, the second important virtue of living who you are in Christ, and when I say living, I mean day in and day out, security. We are set free in Christ, but to enjoy freedom demands security. Now, we're going to get a little technical here, but I believe this is true. This is clearly seen when Abraham Lincoln issued an Emancipation Proclamation to set all slaves free. You read a great deal about the Emancipation Proclamation. You read a lot about that ideal of freedom. You don't get too much reading on what happened to them. What happened to them that day and the next day. You don't read how most of them said, I want to stay right where I am. They were the wise ones. See, what happened? This is clearly seen and when Abraham did this. This was a travesty of justice to the slaves. Why? He took away their security. Pitiful as it had been. And I agree, slavery's pitiful. But you can't just walk up to a slave who understands nothing but that and say, you're free. And expect them to understand it and know what to do. You cannot take away security from people and say you are free and expect them to understand freedom. It was an economic nightmare when people in Russia were set free, that should be in quotes, set free. They did not have a clue as to how the free market system runs. We have 10, 11-year-olds in America who understand more about the free market system from a lemonade stand in front of the house than the Russian adults did. Did not understand what was going on. The same thing happened in Africa when the United Nations set many nations in Africa free. And where are they today? Still many today are starving to death. They had no security. They didn't know what to do with their freedom. And they're starving to death today. Think of other circumstances in history where millions were set free. This time, by God. Think about what God did now. Israel is in slavery in Egypt. But look what God did when he set them free. First, he gave them leadership, security in Moses. Two, he gave them economic security and abundance of wealth from Egypt. Three, he gave them marching orders. Now, what's important about that? If any of you have been in the military, and I pray you have, I'm proud of you if you have, over and right phase, left phase, double time, single time, bout phase, bump, 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 over and over and over. Oh, I know how to do this. What are they doing? See, you're learning to work with a team. You're learning to function with each other. You're learning to do work with what they do and you do. You're in step with them. You're not out of step. You're not out of harmony. You're with them. Orders are given. You can fulfill them. You don't think about it. You do it. They're training you to function as a unit in battle. That is so valuable in a battle. What does it matter whether I'm about face, right face, or when you're in a foxhole? It matters. You know how to work together. You know how to depend on one another. You know how to be dependable. You can do that. So Christ, God gave them orders, marching orders. They learned to work together and learning to march together. The slave generation of the Jews did not know how. This is one of the big lessons, people. The Jews had walked out. They died in the wilderness. They could not handle their freedom. A whole generation had to die. And while they were dying, a new generation was coming up, learning to work together. Learning to march together. Learning to fight together. Learning to worship God together. They learn how to set up the camp, the tabernacle, in the middle of the camp, where each of the tribes had to be positionally, when and where to worship God, so that when they cross into the promised land, they had an understanding how to win the battle of Jericho, how to obey the orders. March around the city 7 times? Nobody asked you your opinion. You were given orders. Yes, sir. I'm marching. Got my marching orders. I'm going to do it. Blow my trumpet. Blow your trumpet. All right, I'll blow my trumpet. The walls came tumbling down. They learn these things, people. You've got to have security in freedom. Freedom without security is lawlessness. And that's what the things that's happening in America today. Then and only then could they enter into the promised land. They had freedom, but they had now had security. Freedom demands security. Why? We are not free in America today. And the reason we're not free is that there's very little security in this country. We're not even secure safe in life. People, there are places in Dallas. I wouldn't walk in the middle of the day, much less in the middle of the night. This is not safe. There are places that you just don't want to be. Freedom of speech is no freedom at all. You can lose your job if you say something that offends somebody. You cannot even talk about Jesus Christ, even in public schools, public places. We have no real freedom of speech. We have very little security, and we're losing it more and more, losing it militarily. So what does it matter that we have the greatest military on earth? Our leaders don't know how to use it. We're a band of lions being led by sheep. I'd rather have a band of sheep led by a lion. But we're in trouble. We have very little security. And where are they going to get the security? By God's design. Where are these children today going to get it? People, by God's design, it should come from home. Their parents. But look at our society today. From the Supreme Court down, security's been taken away from a vast majority of children. Of children. Don't even know what a home is. The way God designed it. They're not learning security. They're learning fear, worry, uncertainty. It's no surprise that our young people are in so much trouble with sex, drugs, alcohol, and rank so poorly in education compared to other nations of the world. We have very little security in this country. Parents molesting their children, and the children get into structured, children have no structured discipline. People's security is vital to maturity. And that's what a parent is to give their children, security. Got to give them that. I love that old woman that reared me. She may have beaten us, but I'll guarantee you, at night, warm meal, clean bed, good night hug and kiss, every night, no matter how bad we were, we had that security. We knew it. We knew it. We knew when we were bad. We knew we deserved a whipping. We didn't deserve the love, but we got it. People, you've got to teach children security. Teach people security. Now, by placing you in Christ, the moment you're saved, God is setting, giving you a position of security. Now you can relax. Go to church. Think with your God-given brain in the power of the Holy Spirit. Grow in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We have noted the first half of our security in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Colossians 2:10, you are in Him. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. That's who and what you are. God is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Christ is in you. That's who you are. Not what other people tell you. What God tells you. You are positioned in Christ. One, position in Christ is unique to the church age believer. Didn't have this throughout all the Old Testament. In no other dispensation is there such a place as being in Christ. The moment one believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, he does not become a member of a race or nation of Israel. God the Holy Spirit enters him into union with Jesus Christ forever. You cannot lose your position in Christ. I get so upset with people who want to take your security away from you. You have eternal security in Christ. Don't let anyone take it away from you. You have it. It's yours. You are secure in Christ. And if you sin some horrible way or for a long period of time, it's that easy to get right back. Just go right back to faith. Get right back into the plan of God. Don't let anyone talk you out of that security you have in Jesus Christ. You cannot lose your security in Christ. You do nothing to put yourself in Christ. You can do nothing to take yourself out of union with Christ. It is eternally yours, due not to your faithfulness, but the faithfulness of God. Two, means of position in Christ. Non-meritorious faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Three, mechanics, positioned in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:5. Gospel of John 17, 21 to 22, 14, 20, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. Four, characteristics of your position in Christ. Not an experience or emotional or ecstatic. It's not experiential, not emotional, nor ecstatic. Two, not progressive. See, we're used to progressing. We're born, we grow physically, mentally, hopefully mentally, school and all this. We keep growing and we grow and we grow. It's what we learn, we think. But in Christ, people, it's not progressive. You are instantly, I don't care if you're 7 years old, it will never be improved. You're 7 years old, and you go on to learn and to imitate Christ, learn all about God, the knowledge of God, increase your knowledge of Christ. You still have not improved your position in Christ. It's yours. In total. You cannot lose it. Believers are elected and predestined in Christ. No one is elected or predestined out of Christ. Every believer shares the election of Christ. When you are in Christ, then you share the election of Jesus Christ and share the predestination of Jesus Christ. Six, position in Christ also declares, which clarifies, sanctification. Seven, one that legalists resent, every believer, carnal, sinful, or spiritual, position in Christ. Here in Christ is true equality of all believers. In Christ is the only place of security. Somebody may know more doctrine than you, but they're no more secure in Christ than you are, people. They may know more, and they may spend more time in the filling of the Spirit, I hope, but they have no closer, more security than you do. They might be aware of it more. It might increase their hope, their confidence. But they're no more secure than you are, than of somebody else in Christ. Eight, our being imputed with perfect righteousness is from our position in Christ. Passage is given. Nine, our being in Christ protects every believer from divine justice in eternity. Romans 8:1, no, your sins will not find you out, people. You are in Christ. Think about it. In Christ, you are secure that you will never be condemned by God. Never. But I've done a horrible thing. You're not condemned by Christ. I wish you could have been in our 9:15 class. We read passage after passage how Israel played the harlot against God. In fact, one of the humorous parts was not only was she a harlot, she paid the people to come in and make love to her instead of getting paid. And he said, you're disgusting. You don't even know how to be a good harlot. A harlot's supposed to get paid. You don't even know how. You pay people to come to you. I love you. I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you. You're my people. And people, if we could learn that from the Old Testament, I don't care what a believer's done or hasn't done. The moment they want to come back, and be in the filling of the Spirit and walk with the Lord. He's standing right there. His arm's like this, ready to take your hand. The only reason it's empty is because you haven't put your hand there. Don't let anyone take that away from you. I don't care how old, how young. I don't care how bad the sin is, the circumstances are. You have no right to lay down. You have every right to stand up. I don't care what other Christians say. You have every right to stand up and march on in the plan of God. That's His grace. That's His love. That's His faithfulness. You have to understand His faithfulness. And nine, our being in Christ protects every believer from divine justice in eternity. There is so much under every one of these days points out, but let us note 2 Peter chapter 2, 4 through 9 on this subject. Verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah. Why? Because he was a believer, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, seven members of his family who were also believers, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. But they're spared. There's always a boat for you people. If you're a believer in Christ, take my word for it. There's always a life jacket, a boat for you to hook onto. Verse 6. And if he condemned a sense, he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly lives thereafter. We're not learning from that today. In our 9:15 class, the northern kingdom was taken out because of their idolatry. The southern kingdom, looking at them, see them being taken out, didn't change, didn't learn, didn't learn a thing. So the southern kingdom's taken out. See? Northern kingdom taken out, southern kingdom should have learned. They didn't learn to continue their idolatry. We're not learning in America today. homosexuality, took out Sodom and Gomorrah. It's great. It's modified. It's wonderful today. No, it isn't, people. Let's learn. Learn. Okay, verse 7. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, for what he saw and heard that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. That may describe some of us today. You look at what's happening in the world, in the community. We're torn by it. I'm torn by it. But that's the way it is with ungodly people. All right, verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly. That's you and I in Christ from temptation. And to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. Now, 10, getting back to point 10. Being in Christ qualifies a believer to live with God forever. Therefore, this guarantees eternal security. There's your security. 11, because you are in Christ, every believer shares many things with Christ. See? Let's figure out it this way. Now, I have to pick on this way, but let's just do it. Same with the motif. A woman marries a man. Under the normal structure of law, she shares everything he has. Now, I know all this stuff about signing agreements and all this type of thing. But I'm talking about under normal circumstances. A woman marries a man, she shares everything. His home, his wealth, if he has any, whatever, all he has. See? I told Judith, all I have is yours. She said, what do you have? And I said, nothing. Well, thank you very much. See? But we share in marriage. So look at this, what we have in Christ. We share the life of Jesus Christ. We share the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We share the election of Jesus Christ. We share the destiny of Jesus Christ. That's good. What's my destiny? Well, what's Christ's destiny? Because that's mine. Share the heritage of Christ. Share the sanctification of Christ. Share the priesthood of Christ. I'm sorry that this is not all that important to believers, that we share the priesthood of Jesus Christ. If you are a Jewish background, this would be a major issue to you, that you are a priest rather than after the order of Jesus Christ rather than after the Levites. You're your own priest. You go to God directly. Point 12, many aspects of our lives here on earth are from our position in Christ. Our Christian liberty is founded on our being in Christ, Galatians 2:4. Blessings in time are not dependent on our performance, but are dependent upon our position in Christ. 33% of our Constitution in America is from the Bible. God has given rights, inalienable rights. These aren't privileges, these are rights given to us, and they recognize they're from God. 13, we are identified with Jesus Christ in his death. We are identified with Christ in his resurrection. Being identified with Christ in his death means that in our daily lives, we do not have to be under the power and control of the sin nature. It's dead to us. Every time we sin, we resurrect the sin nature. You bring it back to life. Can you bring something back to life? Yeah, every time you sin, you bring back to life the sin nature. Being identified with Jesus Christ and his resurrection, spiritual life, spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. Summarizing, at the point of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit baptizes or places you in Christ. This establishes eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. Your eternal position in Jesus Christ establishes eternal fellowship, which is the pattern of our temporal fellowship with God, the Godhead, and with one another. Right now, your position with Christ should be characterized in your life, in your position with other believers, in your position with God. Every born-again believer has the same equal spiritual privilege as any other believer. Christ in you, and you are in Christ. Add to this that the Holy Spirit indwells every one of us. And every one of us are our own priest. This means you represent yourself before God the Father. I understand. In prayer for me, we get prayer requests, we deal with it. That's wonderful. But I want you to understand something. I have no more inner connection with God than any of you. Let's get the preacher to pray for us. Big deal. He's probably got a pretty long list as it is. But that's okay. You don't need him. You are your own priest before God. You carry as much weight before God in prayer as I do. And I carry no more, no less than you. So this is our privilege and our recovery with the Lord. But remember, because you are in Christ, you are in a spiritual warfare. I cannot let you go without bringing that out. Put on the whole armor of God. Walk in the Holy Spirit. Grow in the knowledge of Christ. But there is another part of all this. You are in Christ and Christ in you. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in Colossians 2:10, you are in Christ. You have been made complete. As man and woman become one in marriage, the moment you believe in Christ, you become one with Christ. Well, when you and I believed in Christ as Savior, we became one with Him. See, He and you, and you and Him. That we be in Him was part of the Lord's Prayer in the great chapter of John 17, which is the Lord's Prayer. Look at John 17, 21. Just read the whole deal of the Lord's Prayer. It's about you and me. So let us take a brief look at I and you and me as we close. One, we start our understanding from a relationship between God the Father and the humanity of Christ. That's where we start. What's the relationship of Christ and God the Father? We start with that one. The Gospel of John 14 and the result in their being one. See, and that's what our passage, Jesus Christ is the fullness deity in one person. Now, two, we are in Christ, Christ in us. We are one with Him. Just as Jesus Christ and God the Father are one, you and I are one with Christ. Three, there are three primary implications of Christ in you and you in Christ. One, identification. Gospel of John 14:10. God the Father is identified by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is identified on earth during His presence, during His absence by born-again believers. We are the representatives of Christ. Experiential. By the oneness of God the Father and Jesus Christ, the words that Christ spoke are the words of the Father. The Father spoke, and they are the words that Christ spoke. In like manner, we are in Christ, Christ in us. This ought to have an impact on our daily lives. How we speak to one another. Husband and wife. Your own husband and wife. Parent and child. Parent and parent. Church members. Other believers. How we deal with one another should reflect our position in Christ. This ought to have an impact in our daily lives. What we say should be what Jesus Christ would say to another person. We do understand we should be what Jesus Christ would be. How do we love as Christ loved? By the filling of the Spirit. That Jesus Christ is in God the Father, God the Father in Him, is proven by the fact that my works do not originate from me, Christ said, but are His. My words do not originate from me, they're His words. And so it is with us, should be. Our words and our works are not ours. They belong to Him. Security, we are eternally secure in Christ and by His being in us. Gospel of John 14:20. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. It's very important to Christ. All through John 17, but even before. The union defines both mission and ministry of Jesus Christ, and it defines our ministry and mission in Christ. For by being in Him and Him in us, we possess His life. People, please understand yourselves as you are in Christ. This is the real you, who you are in Christ. Not what you are at work, what you are in Christ. No place for SAD in a believer as long as we live consciously of who we are in Christ. First, you have to know who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, and then live it. Live who you are in Christ. When two people marry, they have to know they are married to each other. And then they live that way. You don't live like you're single anymore. You live like you're one with that woman, that man. So it is with Christ. We live as one with Christ. Today the world is in conflict over the land of Israel. Oh, well, that's something else. So this is our study in regard to the passage in Colossians 2:10. We'll resume here next Sunday morning, Colossians 2:11. And I remind you, next Sunday morning is communion. So you've got some food left over from Saturday or Friday. Heck, I'll even take Wednesday. And you bring it, and we'll fellowship together after we have our communion together. Let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. When we truly grasp how hopeless we are, we stand amazed of what you do to us. You put us into your Son. You gave us his righteousness. You love us in Christ. Not because of who and what we are in our flesh, because of who and what we are in Christ. Therefore, Father, it behooves us to live who we are in Christ. That's how you're going to deal with us. That's how we want to deal with ourselves and with one another. Father, I pray your Spirit can take the things we've seen this morning to become reality in our lives. Be used to the glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.